All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
You can do this all show?
What?
Sing.
I'm going to appreciate the greatest band in the world. Yes, that's going to keep happening all show.
Who's the greatest band in the world?
Absolutely.
Absolutely? I've never heard of them.
What?
He said it. Who's the greatest band in the world?
Ah.
You got
Don't
me.
Don't sigh.
I'm sighing.
Don't sigh.
I'm sighing.
Because just because you can't appreciate that the greatest rock and roll band of all time has put out a new album, and you're not hip with the Who, I don't want to hear your noise.
All right. You would hear my noise.
And furthermore, I'd like to say, in celebration of the over two decades that we've waited for a new album from the Who,
Geek Stuff is giving out $1,000 debit cards to all of its audience members.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
Oprah, we're not doing that.
Can Geek I be stuff. In the audience?
Can I be 10 audience members? No, we're not. Geek Stuff is giving out Zippo.
Aw.
We don't have anything to give out.
It's true.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Geek Stuff merchandise coming too.
Ooh.
Yep, that's all I can say about that until I have money.
I can't wait for my Geek Stuff under ruse.
Footy pajamas. That's what I hear. Footy pajamas.
Footy pajamas. The logo on them?
Yeah, man.
On the flap?
Right on the flap.
That would be awesome.
The trap door?
The trap door, yeah. The
shit all over Geek Stuff.
The shit flap. Anyway, in celebration of The Who's brand new album, mm-hmm. which dropped, as they say, on Halloween, this will be Geek Stuff episode 30.
Yeah.
Endless Wire.
Okay.
Because that's the name of the new Who album, baby. Yeah!
New Who.
I want to see you work Endless Wire into whatever it is we talk about tonight. That's my entertainment tonight.
Yeah?
Watching you
so what you're saying?
That voodoo you do so well.
So you doubt me.
I don't doubt you.
Oh, it sounds like you
doubt
me.
I said I'm interested in seeing how you bring it all together.
I don't even get it in context of the Who.
For those of you that are hearing this episode, episode 30, Endless Wire, a week after the album dropped, you're probably thanking yourself right now that you were able to get episode 29 and episode 30 so close together. So we apologize for our brief delay. But, you know, stuff's going on. Stuff's happening. We need to respond to these things that go on in our lives. Someone had to run off and get married and have all kinds of honeymoons and away time.
Fun.
And leave, you know, the two other people behind to flounder an episode away. And but I have to say at this point that if you're listening to 30, I'm presuming that you listened to 29 and you liked it because it was very difficult to put together, and I'm still sleepy because of it.
Well, why don't we get running with episode 30 then and get into what it is we have to talk about tonight?
episode 30, Endless Wire.
Why don't we get into this Endless Wire and put it into this endless babbling and get on with tonight's episode.
See how you tie it in?
Episode 30. Let's talk about the Wolverine film.
Yeah, okay.
Yo, I love Wolverine.
I love Wolverine too.
All right.
Okay. So now that we're on the same page, which is good. We belong on the same page.
That's great, Mr. Fantastic. I love Wolverine. That's your contribution to this discussion. Lovely.
Baby steps.
So what else?
Hugh Jackman.
Right, so there is one.
Right.
Moving on.
So Hugh Jackman is working feverishly to get the movie done. It looks like they've picked a screenwriter, David Bayoff, who was the screenwriter for the movie Troy, is going to be working on the script.
You know, Troy is one of my guilty pleasure movies.
I like Troy. I don't have any problems with Troy.
A lot of people have problems with Troy.
Yeah, I don't know why, though. It was much better than, say, Alexander.
Okay.
Just saying.
I agree.
So the Wolverine movie is happening. They haven't picked a director yet, although Hugh Jackman has hinted at the fact that they will announce a director shortly, which leads me to believe that they either have somebody or they're finalizing a deal with somebody. But just to know that it's still moving forward smoothly.
Will it be Bryan Singer?
I don't know. I'm going to say no, because Bryan Singer has been greenlit to do the Superman sequel. So
ew, really?
He's going to be doing or sequel or whatever it is.
What's it called? Point. Son of Superman?
God only knows.
Oh, God.
Yo, you guys mind if I leave right now and run down to Target? I want to pick up some Superman figures. I know they're flying off the shelves and they may not be available soon.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Pick me up Blowing Chunk Superman.
Yeah.
I think they're still out there.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Talk about peg hangers.
That's when you walk into that aisle, it's like the blue aisle.
I know.
There's so many goddamn Supermen in
there. They
got
like a literally like a 5x5 pegs worth of figures that are completely filled and have been since the unless they're really turning them over and refilling them, or the pegs rather quickly, those figures are dying on the pegs.
So another pretty big announcement, I know I'm really excited, is that the Wachowski brothers are going to be doing a live action Speed Racer film.
Yeah, I heard about this in San Diego.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Really?
Yeah, not
are
at
you,
all.
Are you, is fact. It because you're not a Speed Racer fan?
No, it's because,
or because you don't like the Wachowski brothers?
No,
a combination thereof?
Well, Wachowski brothers responsible for V, no?
Yes.
Well, I can't obviously hate the Wachowski brothers.
And actually, it was because of the success of V that they were able to get the green light, it looks like, on Speed Racer. So,
which is kind of weird, considering talking about different ends of the goddamn spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about, with all due respect, a rinky-dink Japanese cartoon about a racing car, my opinion, versus a sublime, sublimely written piece about government and the world written 20 years ago and still relevant, maybe even more so today. So, I mean, it's kind of apples and oranges when it comes to greenlighting a film,
well,
at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, while it may not be the caliber, while it may not be the caliber material like V was, Speed Racer certainly has a following. It's been around for over 40 years, or just about 40 years, I think, at this point. I mean, it was the mid-60s, so
that's another thing.
It's got a base. It's got a fan base. I know at one point in time, before the Wachowski brothers were interested in doing the project, Vince Vaughn was actually interested in doing the project. He wanted to do, or he wanted to play the role as Racer X. So, you know, they said it's going to be geared towards a younger audience. It might end up being hokey. It might not. I mean, Speed Racer was kind of hokey as it is. But if it's done right, it'll be funny at the very least.
That kid and the chimp were always in the trunk.
Chim-chim. And Speed Racer.
The kid. No, there was the little kid.
The little kid. Yeah, I don't remember his name. But Chim-chim was the monkey.
Nobody cares.
And Racer
actually,
X.
Fantastic. See if you can go right over... over there into the product archive and see if you see any Speed Racer product
to
the
left. What was Speed Racer's girlfriend's name?
Trixie.
Trixie, that's right. Trixie.
Do you know why I remember that?
Why?
Because it was Quinn. They talked about it in Free Enterprise.
Yes. You know why
she's
I remember
your Trixie.
Because one of my used-to-be favorite
artists.
There's
one there.
Star Trek.
One of my used-to-be favorite artists did a piece for Wizard Magazine probably about 5 or 6 years ago now. Mr. Linsner did a Speed Racer Trixie piece that I've been waiting for years for them to do some sort of print on because Linsner would not part with the original, even though I've asked him several times.
I remember that.
And offered to throw a lot of money at him for it. So
really not over there,
Speed
huh?
Racer is like the only thing I don't see over here.
I know there was a Mach 5 with a Speed Racer and Chim Chim, whatever that kid's name.
Right.
No, it would be standing if it's
It's right here.
Oh, it is. It's way
it's
at the bottom.
It's like the cornerstone of a giant fortress
right
here.
Yeah, so we're not going to touch that.
We can't retrieve that from the product archive at this time.
Right.
However, I'd like to say that they were well done by whoever. Who's that fantastic? Can you peer
wasn't
into
it,
the? You know what the? You know
was
what the
playmate?
Do you know what the? Do you know what the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive reminds me of?
What?
The end scene at Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. All right.
It does because if you and
if
combine
you look at
that,
it, yeah.
Combine that with Tetris, and that's kind of what you're looking at.
Right now, this is risky business I'm engaging
in.
Look,
I just want you to see the company name. I don't want you to bring it all down.
It's just not available here. This box is made of recyclable material. It's Mach 5, also included Speed Racer. What the hell does that say? Spriale? Who's that?
Spriale?
It was some unknown.
No, I think
and
it was...
And Chim Chim.
I think it was like Art Asylum.
I don't know. Oh, it's Toynami.
Toynami.
There you go.
Okay.
Toynami did a fine line of Speed Racer product a while ago. Well, thanks for that.
Let's move on. So Toynami did some great Speed Racer product. It looks like the Wachowski brothers are going to be working on a Speed Racer movie. God only knows if Vince Vaughn will be tied to it. Let's see what happens. But let's move on to...
Well, actually, I have
a
couple of things. You know, we always like to keep track of our favorite companies and what they're going to be producing in the upcoming year. And coming in June from DC Direct, we have some exciting things. Really, I just want to just really quickly talk about two of them because one is interesting.
Okay.
And the other is disturbing.
All right.
Okay. The interesting one is that Todd McFarlane and McFarlane Toys are doing the design and sculpting for a Batman Spawn statue to coincide with a new Batman Spawn crossover book that's happening.
Oh.
And the problem I see here is that this is a DC Direct product, they say, and yet McFarlane's doing all the work.
Okay.
Which kind of harkens me to other licenses where...
Well, I wonder...
I mean, I'm sure the deal is laid out in concrete black and white. I just find it very interesting that those two companies would be working... I understand the book aspect of
right.
it. What I do not understand necessarily is the product aspect of it. Because it would seem to me... that this would lend itself really more, although I was going to say that this would lend itself more to McFarlane, although it isn't really action figures. It's more of a statue.
Well, what I was thinking was maybe McFarlane Studios is doing the sculpting and then DC Direct is going to be doing the distribution of the piece. I mean, the only thing I'd love to know who's working on the new book. And it's almost a shame that they're not doing it based on the old book because I could be really wrong and I could be really off base
on
this.
Maybe Fantastic can find out who's doing
But the first time the Spawn Batman book came out, didn't... who worked on that? I know DC did one and then Image did one, but isn't... Didn't someone huge
DC,
from the DC side do it?
DC did Batman Spawn and Image did Spawn
Batman. But didn't someone huge do it on the DC end?
I don't remember.
I can't remember the name, but I want to say someone big was tied to that.
But I was never really a Spawn guy
I was,
per se.
Back in the day.
Well.
But anyway, moving along. What else you have?
Right. And so that's coming. And then, so that's kind of, it's interesting on many levels.
Right.
Especially since we've seen other licenses that have gone this way and then there's a large amount of problems. Miracle Man, for example.
Right. Well, all this means really is that DC Direct will put out a statue this year, and next year McFarlane will put out three different paint variants.
That could be. Although McFarlane tending to stay far away from statuary.
Yes.
So, all right. And the disturbing thing is that Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern will return in action figure form in the reactivated Kingdom Come Series 2 action figures.
Now, why?
Right.
The only thing that I can think, and if this is the case, then I almost want to give a little bit of kudos to DC Direct, a little bit. The only thing I can think is that those early on Kingdom Come action figures were a bitch to come by when they first came out, let alone now. So if they're remaking them available so that people can re-get into the line, I don't have a problem. My concern is whether or not they're going to tweak them. If they leave them the same and just re-put them out, you know, they bring the molds out, they redo them, put them in a package and put them out, then good. It maybe makes a good bridge line between this and the next line they do. It allows some of the collectors that missed the bandwagon the first time around to get on board. And the current collectors that have stayed with the line the entire time, they're not going to feel as though they have to buy them and maybe spend extra money. However, if they start doing little changes and tweaks and collectors feel, well, I got to go out and buy this, then it kind of pisses me off.
I really don't understand. First of all, was that the assortment? Series 2? Was it Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern? Because that to me feels cherry-picked. That to me feels like...
No, that wasn't the first assortment. The first assortment...
Well, they're calling this the series assortment. Reactivated series Kingdom Come Series 2.
No, because I'm pretty positive Batman and Superman were in the first wave.
I don't remember.
And I don't think Superman Wonder Woman was in the... Well, there were two Wonder Women. There was Wonder Woman, and then there was Wonder Woman in the armor.
Right.
I don't remember. It might be cherry-picked on the base characters. Again, though, if it's a way to introduce people back into the line or get people who may have missed out on the first time.
Okay, but here's my point. Why are we redoing them? You know what I mean? No. Instead of moving forward like they have been doing in the Elseworlds line with adding new characters.
Is there a release date on the wave? Is it before the end of the year?
June.
Of next year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, that's odd. Because I was going to say, if it's real soon, it could be kind of just a bridge. You know, this time of year is kind of crazy.
Right.
A lot of companies are working to get new stuff for next year ready. To start showing it. Toy Fair, there was that other, the little Toy Fair and earlier this month.
Right.
Maybe as a bridge line, maybe DC Direct doesn't have a lot coming out right now and they're using it to just keep product on the shelf. Again, I don't have a problem with it if they're re-putting it out. I don't even necessarily have a problem with it if they're just tweaking the packaging, although they shouldn't be because they haven't changed the Kingdom Come packaging at all yet.
Not only that, they've gone out of their way. They've gone out of their way to keep that packaging for characters they've done from that line in other lines.
So again, as long as they don't change the figures, I don't have a problem with them putting it out as long as it doesn't impede the flow of the other lines.
Right.
So I guess we're going to have to kind of see what happens with the other stuff coming out around that time.
Okay.
In some video game movie-related news, because normally we do comic book or cartoon, that kind of stuff. Looks like the Halo movie is hurting.
What? Why?
Well, Universal and Fox both made a decision to pull the financing on the film. Peter Jackson and his partner from Microsoft, Fran Walsh, has decided to postpone making the film until the proper financing is there so as not to make a half-assed film.
That right there is like the Bungie / Halo spirit. You know, they don't do anything unless they do it right. And even if a lot of people play it and a lot of people look at it and don't like it, that's their opinion. The guys who, you know, create it and release it, they're going to be content with it before it goes out the door. Peter Jackson, he makes movies in that same vein, I think. He's not going to let it go. He's not going to do a crappy job just to get it out.
Yeah, you know, I give them credit for being able to step away from a project and to wait for the right time. My question is, why did Universal and Fox decide to pull the financing? I think that's the bigger question. I don't think it's really been addressed.
What are you, Geraldo?
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, yes, I am.
Yes.
I am Geraldo. You can call me Geraldo from now on. Thank you. No, but really, I mean, you would think that it's going to be a quality film with a name like Peter Jackson tied to it,
with
a franchise like Halo pulling in the audience that it does, and with the video game to movie audience, you know, being dedicated to the product, no matter how crappy the film may eventually turn out. The fact that Universal and Fox pulled it, it concerns me a little bit that maybe they weren't comfortable with the screenplay or the direction. I don't know.
I'm hoping it's this. I'm hoping
maybe
that,
it's a violence
that someone
thing?
Like someone like Peter Jackson wants to remain so true to the vision of the original creators of the universe and
right.
to the storyline that there's going to be a lot of large corporations and, you know, ad agencies and
right.
suits that probably aren't going to be comfortable with, like, the pacing, the art style, a lot of the story arc that goes on in it. I mean, it's an epic storyline like no other. You know, aliens invade Earth, the forces of Earth fight back, and, you know, you're really on Earth's side, but eventually Halo 2 kind of muddies the water a little, and
yeah.
it kind of lets you believe that, well, you know, maybe the aliens aren't all bad, and maybe there's a common enemy, and so it kind of gets, it could get convoluted where, you know, somebody who likes things black and white may get lost in it, and that, yeah, I could see that as a reason for a big corporation pulling funding.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, my thought was that the last time they tried to convert a shooter into a movie, we got Doom.
Yeah.
So, that's where I went with it.
That's example right there. I mean, there was so much change in the movie that it just didn't make any sense.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Ridiculous.
So, I don't know. I think Halo has a richer storyline than Doom. Some of the stuff that Weta had worked on, because Weta was working on a lot of the sculpting and the alien and the environment and stuff like that. And we've seen Weta can put out amazing work. So some of the stuff they did looked really great. I hope that it does get picked up somewhere. I don't know who's going to do it, but I hope someone treats it right, because I think it could potentially launch a successful franchise, not just a single film.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a good movie, or a good video game potentially being made into a movie. Not so good, and has already been tried once and failed, would be Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, they're
oh god, not another Street Fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me more about this.
Well, Hyde Park Entertainment and Capcom I think have made a decision to do another Street Fighter film. It's not going to focus on Guile.
It looks like it's
going to focus on Chun-Li.
Ooh, that's
which is interesting, but there's a tried and true audience for that, because one of the first Street Fighter animated movies that I don't remember the anime company that put it out, but I believe it focused on Chun-Li and Vega, a lot of it actually. So yeah. Maybe they're going with that route. Maybe they're even going with that. They're using that as a basis for what they're doing, but
you know, it's executive level decisions like this that ruin the thing to begin with. I mean, yeah, the movie's coming out in the States. I'm talking about the original movie.
Right.
So they decide, well, it needs to have an American slant, so we get the worst speaking American English accent
right.
you can possibly find in Jean-Claude Van Damme. Make Guile the main character and convolute his entire storyline, and turn Ryu, however you choose to pronounce it, and Ken into like two side story characters that are there almost for comedy.
They're not even side story. They're almost tertiary.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like they're so far in the background. I think the problem with the Street Fighter movie, though, is that I don't think there's a solid story there. There's a loose story there that ties together a fight game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a solid building block to develop a movie franchise around, or a single movie around.
Well, yeah, I can't really imagine the epic saga of Street Fighter.
Well, you're not giving it a chance either, and especially if you delve into the latest Udon comics,
right?
They've kind of fleshed things out in the background, and yeah, it's all an excuse for fighting, but it's kind of a typical Ryu and Ken grow up with a master Gouken, and he's killed by some guy who you eventually learn to find out is Akuma, and it's then a story of revenge.
Right.
You know, Ken becomes the pretty boy, and Ryu wanders the land in search of anybody, in search of the challenge and overcoming
right.
the challenge, which
he walks
that's
the
a pretty
earth.
Lame story.
He walks the earth.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is what I'm afraid of. I was afraid of it the first time, and I'm more afraid of it this time. So who knows? Maybe the financing on this one will get pulled.
I don't have the same
and they could put
faith.
It towards Halo instead.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, yo.
If Ryu and Ken grew up together, how come they always fight?
Because it's a fighting game.
Because their mom liked Ken more.
Oh.
Well, he was the pretty boy.
Can I ask a question? Can we just play name association?
Sure.
I'm going to say a name.
Okay.
And I want you to give me the first thing that pops in your head. I'm going to go to you first.
Okay.
I'm going to go to you second, but I want you to remember the first thing that pops in your head, because, fantastic, you're going to have time to think about this, and I don't want you to. I want you to go with instinct.
So no cheating.
Right, no cheating.
All right, no
I'm
cheating.
I'm afraid I'm going to end up looking like a massive tool after this.
First thing that I say, you're going first.
Okay.
Matt, so first thing I say, you tell me, first thing that pops in your head, okay? Red Sonja.
Okay. Bad movie.
Schwarzenegger.
So those are the first things that you guys thought of, right? Mm-hmm. You remember who played her in the movie?
Not a clue.
Bridget Nielsen.
Busty Blonde.
Was it Bridget?
No, it wasn't Bridget Nielsen, was it?
I don't. That was the second thing that came to my head. I'll check it. Okay. I think it is.
Did you know that the character of Red Sonja was introduced in Conan the Barbarian in 1972?
No.
Yes.
When was the movie made? Oh, 80-something, right?
God, who knows? The point is that her current run...
85.
Her current run by Dynamite Entertainment in the comics has suddenly gotten all this attention, and issue 19 will actually mark the 35th anniversary of the character.
Wow.
Does anyone give a shit that Red Sonja is turning 35?
No.
And that we need to have all sorts of celebration and hoopla and many, many covers and posters and busts and product and...
I'll celebrate privately in the bathroom.
I don't get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Hot redhead drawn by the right person. Frank Cho.
That's right.
Looks great, and I'm all for that. They're making this big thing out of her anniversary, like, yo, it's like Batman is turning 100 or whatever. And I just don't understand it.
Well,
Dynamite Entertainment says that they're going to be doing all these crazy, insane things, posters, miniseries, one-shots, statues, busts, ho-ho-ho. I just don't get it.
I guess you don't like it, huh?
No, it's not that I don't like the character. I certainly don't think she's worthy of, you know, let's throw all the attention at her because she's 30, her character's 35 years old. What they don't say is that for probably 20 of those years, she wasn't in anything.
She wasn't in anything. She was a bad movie.
Yeah, movie. She was a bad comic book for a little while.
Right.
For Marvel, I don't even know how many issues it was. I'm sure Fantastic could probably find that out. I mean, it wasn't that many issues. She was an excuse to draw a mostly naked woman fighting shit, which is hot. But, I mean, that's what it was. And once the public had enough of it, she went away. And now, in the age of mostly naked women in books like Lady Death and Witchblade and all
X-Men...
These... Well, I wasn't going. I was going more.
I know. It's pretty much everywhere, though.
But you know what, though? With all due respect to Marvel, ooh, that hurt. They don't have characters that are pretty much wearing bikinis.
Right.
In every... I mean, did you ever see a Lady Death issue?
Yeah.
Like, they're retarded. You know, and not only that, you know, and there are other books like that. And what I'm saying is, this is probably the start of that trend 35 years ago. And I understand bringing her back in an age when this sort of thing may be a little bit more popular and getting a little work out of her. But to plaster it up like it's an event.
So do they give her new boobs or 70s boobs?
I think 70s.
Because I'm just saying, 70s boobs are different.
They're very round. They're very...
Is it Frank Cho that's working on the book?
No. Well, they've done... so many people...
He's done some cover art.
Frank Cho, Jim Lee, George Perez, Cassaday, Turner, Jones...
You know what?
I mean, they've all done covers. Neil Adams. Everyone's done covers.
Here's the thing. I don't mind that they're giving hoopla to the character. Whatever. She has a 35-year history. There's something to be commended about that. Fine. I don't even mind the fact that they're yucking up the book. Maybe the book's halfway decent. Maybe it has a decent sell-through rate. It deserves to be talked about. It deserves some credit. But all this extra merchandise. I just see that as being at the flea market in a year or being at the discount table at the next con I go to.
Yeah, no
in,
shit.
In 10 months.
That's the point.
Is like, why are they dumping that money into that product?
All right.
That I don't get.
They rejuvenated her not even maybe a year ago at this point. Maybe it's a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already Red Sonja shit that's not selling, that's on clearance tables at cons. So now you're making plans to do more stuff that isn't selling. I mean, I guess in the world of collectibles and toys, and this is the way of things anyway, you know, fucking Toy Biz makes tons of shit that nobody buys, and they keep right on making it.
Yeah, but Toy Biz is a much bigger company than, that's putting that stuff out?
Dynamite.
Yeah, exactly.
Formerly known as Dynamic Forces, I guess.
Toy Biz can almost afford to put out stuff that chokes a little bit. I don't know that Dynamite or Dynamic Forces or...
It's Dynamite Entertainment.
Dynamite Entertainment can afford to put out stuff that chokes. And as much as I loved Dynamic Forces and I was enthralled with some of the stuff that they put out through the years because it was some of the best collectible stuff on the market, haven't they learned? I mean, even if they're not old Dynamic Forces, just use Dynamic Forces as a model. If you put out too much crap that nobody buys, you go away.
Fill me in here. What's with covers having the Dynamic Forces emblem on them, but not having anything to do with it? What is
Dynamic
that?
Forces in its heyday, when it was huge and big, which it's not any longer, what they would do is they would take key selling issues of big books and get variant artists, big name artists, to do covers for those books.
Alternate
and
covers.
They would be the only person that would solicit it. You could find it in stores sometimes, but most of the time you'd find it at a convention or it would be a retailer exclusive, and then the retailer could... It was a way to create a market, and it was a way to bring new talent into a book that may not already be exhibiting that talent.
Now, was this in conjunction with the original publishers, or like they take the book and wrap it and resell it?
No, it was in conjunction. Right. A lot of times it came out at the same time or maybe a couple of months later. Sometimes it was even a reissue of a book if a book sold through. But for the most part, that's what it was.
And often they would get those artists to sign those covers.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I don't think that was the best work that Dynamic Forces did. I think some of the best work they did was, I mean...
The heads.
And some of the lithographs and stuff that they put out, that's really where
they're... The 1-1 scale heads, Marvel heads, were pretty...
The original Spider-Man, Hulk, Green Goblin, before Wolverine, Diamond took it over, whoever has it now, Dynamic Forces.
Well, yeah.
What about Captain America?
Yeah, Captain America.
That was Dynamic Forces. And they did a great job with those.
They did. The Hulk is one of the most stunning pieces I have in my collection.
Are those Captain America's goggles that he came with, or put those on?
Those are actually Harry Potter Quidditch goggles.
Well, they look real. They look like they could possibly go with an incarnation of the
Kind of looks like Ultimate Cap.
Yeah.
While we're talking about Dynamic Forces, if anybody's listening that runs a convention or likes a convention or wants to start a convention, go back a couple years to the Dynamic Forces Fan Fest that they held in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Use that as a model of how to do at least one convention a year, because that was probably one of the best shows I've ever been to that was honestly and genuinely geared towards the fans and the people who really bring in the money to this stuff. Just had to say that on a side note. It's a bit of a tangent.
It's true. Well, I got one final thing.
All right.
Was it?
Last week, we talked about Marvel reinvigorating, if you will, the Heroes Reborn universe, which was born, if you will, out of the Onslaught storyline in X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel, I also mentioned at the time, had dallied back into a little project called The New Universe from way back in the day. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Well, it seems that they are going to move ahead with some sort of new universe ongoing book.
Okay.
I think it's called New Universal. And it's going to be written by Garth Ennis, which means people will read it. And I'm not sure who's doing the art. But that being said, it's just, again, Marvel completely out of touch with reality. Because I have to believe that they're basing this decision on those books. Remember I told you they put out some new universe books lately? I have to believe that they are going based on the sales of those books into this project.
So wait, fill me in because I'm confused. What exactly is the new universe again? It's a relaunch. It's a
Marvel.
It's an Elseworld in the Marvel universe.
It's another universe. No okay. relation to the Marvel universe at all. It's its own universe, has its own heroes,
and they're using
you remember the
standard
books?
Yeah, they're using
Star
the standard
Brand,
Marvel characters
GP7,
or seven.
No? Kickers Inc.
Yeah, but those were all at least they were original. Right. Are they doing the same thing? Or are they using familiar characters? Is it new universe?
I don't know.
Spider-Man?
I don't. No. It's going to be those characters: Star Brand, DP7,
okay.
Whatever the rest of them were. Who the hell could remember?
Right.
I think DP7 was the only one I actually read all the way through. And I think I'm not sure whether they're relaunching that in a kind of a ultimate way or whether they're just catching up with those characters. I think they were doing some catching up in those books that came out recently.
Well,
so maybe this is now moving forward still within that universe.
I'm not totally opposed to them if the creative teams are right.
Well, Garth Ennis is a great writer.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you have Garth Ennis and he's like, I really want to write something. Here's an idea. Don't give him shit to write. Don't give him shit. I mean, okay. Not in the sense of nothing, but in the sense right. of it's garbage.
But here's the thought, or at least here's my thought. Marvel obviously has something brewing in the works to launch this Marvel universe, right? It's obviously something,
universe.
Or the new universe, sorry. Marvel obviously has something in the works to launch the new universe. Garth Ennis comes up to Marvel and says, look, I want to work on, let's say for the sake of conversation, Punisher. Marvel says, we'll give you a run on Punisher, but before we give you a run on Punisher, maybe you got to do 6 episodes of this new universe.
Right.
This is Marvel's way of bringing Garth Ennis in and putting a big name behind a product they're afraid will fail unless they have a good team behind it.
Are you saying that Garth Ennis writing the new universe book, which I think is called New Universal, is kind of a what do they call it in government? Pork?
I don't know. What do they call it in government?
What do they call it in government when you tax stuff on another bill?
I call it a writer.
No, it's pork something. Is it just pork?
Pork soda?
No.
It's a Primus album?
Pork.
What the hell are you talking about?
When? All right, let's say...
I know what he's talking about, but I don't know where the pork is coming
barrel?
From.
No,
government
no,
cheese?
I have no idea.
I can't remember now.
Pork loin.
What I'm saying is that it's a writer on the deal, on a Garth Ennis deal.
Yeah, that sucks.
I know that it sucks, but doesn't it in some sort of twisted way make sense for Marvel
sure.
to do?
Sure, it makes as much sense as hiring Joss Whedon
okay.
to do an X-Men book simply for namesake.
And what else is Garth Ennis working on right now? I'm kind of out of the loop in the Garth Ennis verse.
I don't know what he's working on.
So if he doesn't have a lot of, or he doesn't have a major project going on right now, then it behooves Garth Ennis to do whatever Marvel says, to work on what he wants to work on. Look, I got to be honest with you. If I got to go through 6 months of the new universe to get a Garth Ennis Punisher book, maybe, let's say, I might write out the new universe to wait for Punisher. I keep saying Punisher because I think, you know, that'd be a fun book to see him work on. But
maybe it's just called Pork.
I have no idea where
you're
going
with
this. I know Pork as
pork
the
belly,
other white meat.
Pork barrel.
Or... I don't know.
I don't know.
I refuse to look this up.
Fat
look,
back.
Look, if you're out there and you know what I'm talking about, will you please go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, send us a comment, go on our
message board
and explain to these two morons what I'm talking about.
Whoa.
Here, what it's called. I know I'm rising above their station in life here and suggesting comparing a twisted deal by Marvel to the way our government works. Maybe if somebody out there is listening and can explain it better than I have, I'd appreciate if you did that.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
This is Irwin Keyes, the bad cop from the Warriors.
Hey, this is Roger Hill from the Warriors.
This is Apache Ramos from the Orphans.
This is Cold Cheese David Harris from the Warriors.
This is Brian Tyler, a.k.a. Snow, from the Warriors.
This is Deborah Van Valkenburg from the Warriors.
Hey, this is Michael Beck from the Warriors.
This is Dorsey Wright from the Warriors, and you're listening to Big Cavs Geek Stuff.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, well, one more thing, Matt.
Uh-huh.
I got something to tell you.
All right.
I've been made a fool.
Uh-oh.
Last week, you may remember that
is this part of the show?
An even bigger fool. Last week, I went out on a limb and said that Hawkeye's dead.
Right.
Well, I caught up in Ultimate Marvel Universe, and he's alive, baby.
Aww.
However, his family, brutally murdered and still brutally dead.
Wow, does he wear a big skull on his shirt now? That sounds awful familiar.
No, but he does.
Will
kill
the ultimate
with guns.
Hawkeye become the ultimate Punisher?
He kills people with guns?
Yeah, I mean, he's had the bow and arrow for a short period of time, but in this one, he's kind of just an overall badass, and they play it off that he can hit anything from anywhere using a ranged weapon, be it a gun.
They are making him the Punisher. They're making him Bullseye.
They're making him Bullseye.
There's actually a part where he's strapped down in a chair and he kind of wakes back up. It turns out they shoot him bang with a dart and not bang with a gun to kill him in the issue that they lead you to believe that he's dead. So he's tranked, and there's some guys interrogating him. And when the guy leans in for that final question before he says he's going to kill him, he rips his fingernail off and flicks it into a guy's throat. And that's how he escapes. He basically rips all of his fingernails off. So it's very unbelievable. Probably one of the worst
Bullseye
parts. But that's what happens. And the second thing is Frank Miller, 1994... Spawn Batman.
Artist or writer?
A writer. I don't know if it's just writer or writer-artist, but at least writer.
I don't think he drew it. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's a combination, though. He's Punisher and
Bullseye.
And
a little bit of Hawkeye.
Called Hawkeye.
All right.
Silly universe.
Bullseye, Hawkeye. At least there's an eye. Just saying.
Right, so that's another big hit from the new Who album. And you are listening to Geek Stuff Episode 30, Endless Wire.
Nice. Okay, what are we talking about now?
Well, I want to talk about...
Bring it in. Endless Wire. Wrap it up.
You're endless interrupting.
Right.
I want to talk about the South Park episode that opened their season this year.
Uh-oh.
Which was the World of Warcraft episode.
Yes.
Now, it's significant on many levels. One, it happens to be one of the funniest episodes I think they've ever done.
I agree.
Number two, it really shows online gamers in the worst light imaginable.
Well, that's what South Park does.
Right. Which is fine, and I don't have a problem with that, because let's face it, more of them are like that than not like that, probably.
Right.
And especially those guys who play World of Warcraft, right, or WoW, as we'll call it from here out, so I don't have to say World of Warcraft for the rest of the evening. I think the overall consensus of all of us that watched it, now this would be actually the night before your wedding, when we were here at the studio with a bunch, not the bachelor party, but we were here at the studio with a bunch of fellows,
right,
and we were sort of chilling, as they say, chilling.
Ooh.
And we watched the episode, and many of us turned kind of slightly to the other, and comments were heard like, does that game really look like that? and other comments like, is that how we look when we play? You know, stuff like little comments, little kind of under the breath, kind of maybe not necessarily want to be heard kind of comments. However, it did cause you and I to look at each other and with a tear in our eye go, what the fuck did they kill Star Wars for?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why? Well, recently I took it upon myself to start investigating World of Warcraft. And what I have found out is that this whole massive multiplayer online
role-playing game
phenomenon,
MMORPG for short,
which we will refer to as Massives, and I'll tell you why in a second. Massives have become really humongous, but not good.
Right.
They've become such a phenomenon that there's actually now a magazine out called Massive.
Sure.
That covers, purportedly, to cover all of these massive online games.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting in the fact that it's kind of, it's kind of very niche to have its own focus, to have its own magazine.
Okay.
But anyway, yes?
Well, no, what I was going to say is that Massives really is the reality TV of video games.
Right.
That is provocative.
But it's true.
It's true. That's why it's provocative. Not because you're sexy. You're right.
All right.
Yeah.
but that's why it's catching on so much, because it's the same vein just in a video game.
Right. Well, like I said, as many people in the audience may remember, you and I, Matt, at least, and not fantastic at all, you and I were very deeply entrenched into the Star Wars Galaxies massive game for a couple of years, almost 3 years for me and about two or so for you.
Yeah, just over two.
And we were devastated when they flipped that game. And by flipped, we mean that they changed the gameplay, the structure of the game, and a lot of the internal mechanics of the game, which made the game completely and utterly different than the one that we had been playing for 3 years.
Not suitable for playing, in my opinion.
Yes, not suitable for playing indeed. So, that being said, I investigated after we watched the World of Warcraft episode of South Park. I investigated the World of Warcraft. I talked to a bunch of people that we used to play Star Wars with who are now playing World of Warcraft.
Right.
And they actually set up a little character. I was able to go in, set up a little character, and play for a while.
Ooh.
And I hated every second of it.
Oh, thank God.
I hated it more than most things that I have played in the past.
You hate a lot, too.
Yeah, I hate a lot. And when I say I hate, I don't hate lightly.
Nah.
You know what I mean? And it was not good. First of all, it's cartoony as all hell.
Okay.
You do not have a wide... There is a variety, but not a wide variety in character creation.
Okay.
You're kind of limited by your race, and you're kind of and they all look the same. You know what? If you're playing an elf, it's pretty much that elf with different colors.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Versus every other elf in the place.
Right.
Okay. You're limited again by race as to what you can be.
Okay.
You know, so I wanted to be like a elven thiefy guy, and you can't really do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So already there are restrictions. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying the whole thing needs to be so open-ended, but when you play something like Star Wars for 3 years.
Oh, sure.
And you pretty much, you create a dude, they put the dude in the world, and you decide what you want to do with him.
Right. Well, I think anybody, whether or not you hate Star Wars or loved Star Wars, I mean, Star Wars probably had the best character generator out of any online role-playing game.
That's true, but moreover, because you could control height and weight, and actually, if you were unsatisfied with that somewhere in gameplay...
But generator expands past that, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to that. But the point is that they even built into Star Wars a way for you to, even if you weren't happy with your selections or you felt it was time for your character to change, they actually had a character class, if you will, or an occupation, which was... image designer, which you could go see one of these dudes and basically change how you look.
It's like plastic surgery.
Exactly.
This is an NPC or PC character?
PC.
So you can play a character that's basically a stylist.
Yeah.
I see.
Right. You know what? There were plenty of them.
It was like the swan in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You pay a little bit.
That's it.
They give you a prettier nose.
You got all pretty.
Bigger boobs and they slim down your waist.
Yeah, I mean, if you decided you were, you know, when I started playing, and this is true, when I started playing, I was a lot heavier. So when I created my character, I made him look exactly like me. Ask anybody in this room ever saw my character looked exactly like me. I spent hours with each little detail making him look as close to me as I could. Then I had surgery.
Right.
Then I lost a whole bunch of weight. I had to go bring my character to an image designer so that I could get slim and trim and sexy in the game.
Well, you achieved slim and trim.
All right. So that being said, let's go back to World of Warcraft. So World of Warcraft, on top of being cartoony, not much delineation between characters, right. Restrictions regarding what you could do class-wise versus your race. On top of that, you got... There's no investment in the game at all, in the sense that, again, comparing it to the greatest massive of all time, Star Wars Galaxies, before they flipped it, there's no houses. You can't have your own house.
I love that feature.
You can't have your own. They have some mounts.
Right.
They have some mounts, but you can only get them if you're like certain levels, which is ridiculous because, you know, if there's a thing you can ride, even if you can't ride it well, you know, and you have a chance of falling off and busting your ass, if there's a horse there and I need to get over there really quick, even if I don't know how to ride a horse, I'm jumping on the fucking horse.
And trying.
So that doesn't make any sense. No houses, no personal investment, nothing like that at all.
In defense of it, and I just for a moment... Do you think that maybe one of the reasons why they chose to eventually dumb down Star Wars Galaxies, the thing we loved so much about Star Wars Galaxies, was detrimental to other people or other players? The complexity that we loved, other people hated. And so when creating WoW, they dumbed it down, they made the basics, they made it simple so that you can get into it quick, and you weren't bogged down, perhaps.
So here's my problem with that. If there are 2 million people who are paying to play your game the way it is, complex or not complex, right. And you don't have a steady fall off that's happening versus the steady incoming amount of people, right? Why would you change that game?
I don't know.
No one knows. That's the whole thing about this. No one knows why this happened,
nobody
no matter what they
knows.
Say. It doesn't make sense.
All right.
But I think we're getting off topic.
Right. But I'm going to bring it back now. I'm going to bring it back. If those elements, in any sense, were appealing to some people, why is it that what is now the biggest massive out there, World of Warcraft, has none of them?
I think it has a different audience.
Which is where I'm going. This game is really this. I'm going there.
All
just
right.
Give me a minute.
All right.
That's where I'm going. This game is really as dumbed down as the Star Wars flip is, and even more so because it's visually dumbed down as well. It's cartoony. It looks like any anime that I've ever seen.
I don't know. I don't agree here.
Well, I don't necessarily agree, but even if that's the argument or even if that's a truth, let's say for a second that is a truth, that visually dumbed down anime sells to billions of people. I don't understand it necessarily. I don't get the anime thing, but the kids flock to it like moths to a flame. So... why not put it in a video game?
Well, I'd like to talk about the first thing that you said.
Okay.
About the art style, right? It's dumbed down. But that art style was inspired by the Warcraft games before it, which was in turn inspired by the Games Workshop universe, which is why you see, you know, giant hammers and short, fat, squat dwarves with big thighs and things like that. Very bright colors, a lot of detail, a lot of shading going on. The reason why the World of Warcraft implementation of that art style is so dumbed down, though, is because they want to try and have as many people as they can play it. So when they lower those requirements, technical requirements of the computer, they automatically get more people playing it. Yeah, there's levels that they can implement there, but the lower they go, the more people that they can have, which is also why the complexity is lower.
So
but
are you talking about, when you talk about that, are you talking about, you're talking about like the lag time and the servers and stuff like that? If you dumb it down and you give less choice?
No, the graphics that are involved there aren't going to affect the lag time because the graphics are all done on the computer that you're sitting in front of. But the graphics that are there will run smoother if you have a better computer, or smoother if they take away polygons and detail and stuff like that, which is what you see go on in World of Warcraft.
Right.
Sometimes you see it. If you look at Warcraft now and you compare it to Common Era stuff that's coming out these days, it just doesn't nearly look as good.
No.
They make up for it when what a lot of people say is like an awesome, adored art style that people love. But the base of the art style doesn't always translate fully to everybody's computer, as an end result. But that does give them a lot more people to play with because they are going for that, the fat part of the bell curve.
Right.
All those people right in the middle, the people who like video games, they're intrigued by it. They like the art style. They were fans of all the Warcraft games. They may not know about Warcraft. They may not realize that everything is just ripped from the Tolkien universe and Heinlein universes and then jammed together. But they'll play it. They'll play it because it runs in their computer and all their friends are playing it now. And it's accessible once they sit down. They don't have to say, let me get a piece of paper and pencil and plan out my character arc and trajectory, how he's going to go for, until level 60 or whatever it is.
I understand that.
I know you do.
But
you're bright.
The thing with, and is this because I'm an older player now, is I never envisioned playing myself as a cartoon character.
You know what? This is, I kind of liken it as AD&D 2nd Edition versus D&D 3rd Edition. You know the way they kind of just cast off all their class and race restrictions in 3rd Edition, which is something that, you could figure out as a DM, just say to somebody, you can be a, half-orc, thief or half orc, whatever.
Right.
And they kind of don't let that happen in Warcraft because they're taking these people who may or may not have an evolved understanding of fantasy games and traditional war games and things like that, and kind of putting them in those pigeonholes and saying, well, this is an elven ranger, and this is how an elven ranger acts, and they can figure that out and they can play that. They can play that role. But if they were to say, here's a class and here's a race, pick two and put them together and play it properly or play it in a way that's effective and fun, it is less of a chance. It's going to make sense to them and they're going to have fun while they're playing because they're going to pick two things that conflict.
You know what? I don't mind
that
the artwork.
Well thought out argument.
Think at all then. That was stream.
Right.
Stream.
Why start now?
I don't think so. I don't mind the artwork. I don't mind the cartoony feel. I kind of do enjoy it. I don't necessarily mind down the dumb pigeonholed classes because I think there's a simplicity there that caters to a larger group of people than
a younger group of people.
I don't think necessarily younger. I think larger. I think younger certainly, but I also think inexperienced older players fall into the same group as inexperienced younger players.
Which,
so I don't want to. I don't want to age classify it. I just want to group it.
Yeah, it's more.
The thing that bothers me, though, is, and again, I haven't looked at it other than the few videos that I've seen and the South Park stuff, and I haven't really looked at it because I'm terrified. I'm terrified to load it onto my computer and play.
I promise
I'm
you.
I'm terrified I will like it. But
10 minutes in, Matt, and you will turn it off.
The part that I don't like, and I don't know how true it is, but as far as the art style is concerned, is if Elven Ranger number 1, Elven Ranger number 2, Elven Ranger number 3, and Elven Ranger number 4. The only visual difference between the two of them is green, blue, purple, orange, red armor or green, blue, purple, orange, red clothing. That I have a problem with.
With
no sort of characterization in the size and shape of the eyes, the size and shape of the ears, weight, height. I kind of like that stuff because I think it makes it easier to play because you can pick people out easier. And second of all, I think it adds a little bit more diversity to the experienced players. Now, I don't think that it's necessary for everybody to choose. If you want to create a character that's cookie cutter Elven Ranger in blue armor versus cookie cutter Elven Ranger in red armor, that's fine. But maybe they should try to work in a way where you can tweak some of it a little bit. I mean, in Galaxies, and I hate to revert back to Galaxies, but it's probably the one I spent the most time playing.
Don't hate it.
But it's probably the game I spent the most time playing as far as these types of games are concerned. There was a point in time in the game where I could be in a city or a town or even out in the middle of a field on Naboo where I could see somebody and know who that person was without even seeing their character name. I could see somebody and be like, dude, I know that guy. I fought with that guy before, or I hung out with that guy in a cantina last night. And it's because it's because of those little tweaks that you can do to the character that really personalize it. That's the only problem I really have. The other stuff doesn't bother me so much.
You could look across and see a guy with a long rifle and three giant cats.
And know it was you.
And know that it was me.
Right.
So I thankfully, I was affected by the South Park episode, the World of Warcraft episode, in the sense that I felt like it was time that I started exploring other massives to see if I could find one to take the place of the beloved dead Star Wars Galaxies. Right. And I have to say in my first report that the answer is not World of Warcraft. Not World of Warcraft. There is no personal investment in that game. Everything you have, you presume to have on your person. It's just another, or you have some sort of little, they have some sort of little bank account, right, or safe deposit type box thing, which worked out really well in the Star Wars galaxy sense because they treated it exactly like it was. But you have these bags and things and none of it is represented on your person, and it just, I guess what I'm saying is there's so little realism to it at right. all that it's jarringly unrealistic.
Yeah, I think you're going to find it very hard, or you're never going to find, maybe I should say, you're never going to find a game that's going to be like Star Wars Galaxies. I think because Star Wars Galaxies eventually was forced to flip-flop, other companies that are pursuing games like this might see the need to flip-flop as the original way the game ran obviously wasn't working. And so they're going to try to shy away from it. I'm not saying it's never, ever, ever, but I don't know. I see this kind of cookie-cutter, fast-paced game really being the trend.
Well, as that is a damn shame, I am also... when I said that this was my first report, I have now had an invitation by another group of people who we used to play Galaxies with to okay. come and check out Dungeons & Dragons online.
Yeah, I've heard about that one too.
Which I understand has problems of its own.
Right.
While being much more realistic, there are some mechanics issues in that game that I hear are not so good. But I will let you know. And there are other ones out there as well that at the outset seem like very good ideas, like the Matrix Online seemed like a great idea, but apparently
died in the water.
It's not really doing that well.
Wasn't there a Tolkien one also that kind of died?
Yeah, I think. Well, you know, I don't think it's dead so much as who's playing it.
Yeah, no one. Well, I'm you sure know? Someone, but not enough.
Fantastic has heard of one that's coming along. Which
you know,
sounds...
yeah. You know what? I've been seeing in the back of some magazines ads for Maple Story, and it had an art style somewhat reminiscent of, I would say, is SquareSoft's Secret of Mana.
Ooh.
Maybe a little. It's a very very Japanese esque, round, kind of super deformed characters. But what really got me is not really the art style, just the fact that it's a 2D side scrolling, what they label massively multiplayer online role playing game. So it is kind of like you're running around like it's Mario Brothers with a sword. And what the other thing that got me into it is it's free. Now, it's I believe it's like based out of Taiwan or something like that. So there are some language nuances to it. The game runs pretty well. It is 2D. And, you know, if you have any computer that was bought in the last 2 or 3 years, it should run it just fine. The way this game works, however, and the way they make their money is they appeal to that want for custom characters, and although in the game you can uncover treasure, the really cool stuff you have to buy with cash.
Right.
So, and it's just, it really gets ridiculous to the point where you can make your guy look like a ninja.
Right.
You have like the ninja cowl, and you'll have a ninja katana, and you'll have some little slippers and all these cool things. You can make them look like a knight, or you can make them look like a samurai, but then it just gets bizarre where you can like walk around and attack guys with like a lollipop or an ice cream cone, or you have a Daniel Boone cap and all this crazy stuff. So they try and emphasize the whole character customization thing. And while the melee fighting and the range fighting in it is fun, it's like any other game to me in that you start out, they give you a sword, it's cool, you're exploring, but for the first like freaking 12 hours, you're killing rats or something.
Yeah.
Like some little low-level character that you're just killing thousands of to gold up or to, you know, get more XP or EP or whatever they're calling it, and it just kills it for me.
Which is something that I experienced also in World of Warcraft, the need at a low level to just fight herding animals that were nearby,
right.
Much like they did in the South Park episode,
right.
Where they had to kill 3.5 million boars or whatever it was to get to the level. That kind of stuff to me just seems ridiculous because that's all really the value that you're taking away from that combat. Is, you know, and in World of Warcraft also, you take some things off of the body, let's say, of the whatever you kill.
Right.
And maybe there's a merchant who's interested in those things and so on and so forth. There is that aspect to it, but there's just, it's nothing.
But like, that's like, it's like a real job. The more that becomes like my real job, the worse I'll
be. Yeah, but
you
know what, though?
For you.
Wait, hold on. For you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not interested in harvesting.
Right, you're not.
Giant ants.
We
giant
have a friend. We have a friend. We'll call him Uncle Manny. Uncle Manny in Star Wars, listen, all he did, and this kid loved this game, loved it. All he did was survey planets and pop down mining equipment on the best spots for whatever he particularly wanted. He surveyed planets. He got a notebook. He plotted coordinates, and he would just survey planets and mine them. And he had the best stuff. And when he became a merchant, he had stockpiles of all this best stuff, which he could then use to make, as a merchant, all of these other things, and that he really enjoyed. And there were a lot of guys who really enjoy that. And I'm not saying it's the aspect that's right for you. It's not right for me either. I would much rather myself spawn kill than mine a planet or sew a shirt or whatever it is that these other characters like to do. But you know what? There were a lot of people in the game, and I don't want to make any kind of gender notations here, but there were girls in the game who were into making clothes and dresses and all sorts of shit, and guys who were just out there like Uncle Manny who were mining planets, and that's what they enjoyed, right? Not your aspect, but don't blow it off as not appealing.
But I think we're getting away from what Mr. Fantastic was saying, the mining and the sweater knitting and the dancers and the musicians and stuff like that. I think that's different than the killing womp rats for 24 hours. And even though I love Star Wars Galaxies, obviously, and I would love to run to its defense, even Star Wars Galaxies suffered from that. I can't tell you how many times or how often I spent killing diseased womp rats or diseased nununas, depending on what planet I was on, Naboo or Tatooine.
Right. I'm not saying
for
it's not
hours.
Right. I'm not saying it's not an element. What I'm saying is that that wasn't necessarily the core element that you had to follow.
Oh, no.
In World of Warcraft, it kind of is. It's okay. Kind of like you have to go get these missions to do these things, to advance. I mean, there are, it sounds a lot like it's the same thing. There are many parallels with regards to that type of gameplay between the two games. But what I'm saying is that there is a vast difference between the execution of one and the other.
Well, I think that for the foreseeable future, if they put out 100 new games a year, it's probably safe to say that maybe a quarter of those games will be some sort of massive or will fall under the guise of some sort of massive, and that number may continue to grow. I think that, I mean, every game that I hear about is has some sort of massive feature to it.
Now he's Nostradamus.
Aren't you beta testing one?
Kinda, sorta. I've been kind of toying with Pirates of the Burning Seas. There are a lot of things that I like about the game. There are a lot of things that I'm kind of afraid about the game that I hope are just beta problems. The character customization is for shit right now. Like, for example, you start the game off with picking your outfit, and I don't think that you get to change it. And I don't know if that's only for beta or if that changes. But, like, you know, you start the game off with a peg leg or a hook, and the hook has no change or has no significance on how your character is played, other than while you're walking around town, you have a hook.
You drink your grog with a hook hand.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for example, when I was customizing my character, I had all these weapon selections, and I was like, wow, maybe it's this great, like, custom weapons package that I thought I had, and I had, like, a pistol and a sword, and I was like, fuck yeah, fit 3 pistols, double shooters, rapiers, like, all this fun. And then, like, when I got into the game, it was like, none of them were useful. They were just on my person. So I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if that's a beta problem, or if that's that's how the game's going. It's too early to tell. I think that game, though, is not going to be a character-generated game. I think it's going to be a naval combat game that you get to play with a lot of people. Right. And I think that's where that game's going to be fun. Yeah. I don't think the character customization
it's a lot like important. It seems to me that Pirates of the Burning Seas is going to be a lot like Sid Meier's Pirates.
Kind of, but with more than one player.
Right, exactly.
Right.
That being said, let's just touch on a few more before we wrap this up.
Okay.
One that was very popular and seems to be very quickly going away is City of Heroes.
Right.
Well, about the best character generator.
One of them.
That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You could spend days working on the character.
I know a couple guys at work that still play that game, and I was kind of surprised when I heard them talking about a game that was clearly a massive game. I was thinking that they were playing World of Warcraft, and that's what they were talking about. The more that I listened, you know, there were out-of-genre things, and I asked, you know, what game are you guys playing? He said, City of Heroes, and I was like, no way. Showed me a picture of two characters that they played. They play together almost every day. Tomax and Zaymot. And oh my God, were the likenesses good. The two brothers, Crimson Guardsmen from G.I. Joe, it was like, clearly a very good character generator in that game. I don't know how the game itself is, but they seemed to enjoy it, and they played it.
The problem with the game was the character generator was good. The power base was actually pretty interesting and fun, but there seemed to be no expansion to it. That and the fact that you were locked into what felt like a 10-block radius inside of a city.
Yeah.
There was nowhere to go after. Like, you could probably explore the entire map in an afternoon. And then after that, it was what to do inside the map.
Well, let's see. I could go kill more thugs.
Right.
Or I could kill more thugs.
That's where that game suffered. Or suffers. But I haven't touched it since it first came out, so I don't know.
And no matter
changed.
What level you were, it was always the same. That's what I was out of that game so quick that my head was spinning. I was out of it so quick, it was almost like I didn't even play it at all.
Right.
Because other than the character generator, which I spent a lot of time on, you know, the gameplay was terrible. The premise was unfeasible. You're trapped in a city under this giant dome placed there by some aliens or some shit like that, and there's just bazillions of heroes, and combined, all of them with all of their powers couldn't break out of this dome.
Well, we know
ridiculous.
It's the Truman Show, only with superheroes on a video game.
You ever had this feeling where you go to the store, you buy a game, you bring it home, and the game has character generator in it, and there's a song that's played during the character generator, and it's like 30 seconds of freaking music that's looped
over,
and you're
over
there and like you have this realization, like 6 hours into sitting in front of the character generator, you're like, holy shit, have I been here for 6 hours? I haven't even played the game yet, and I'm over what color
this guy's hair is.
The
realization that you have is that once you get inside the game, it's going to be the same shit.
Well, if the game sucks, it's the worst feeling possible.
That's what I'm saying. I created what I consider to be a really awesome hero character and got inside of this lousy world with this terrible premise, and it just went nowhere. It never got better, ever. Not even a little.
And you know what you heard throughout the entire time you were playing
game? Yeah, whatever. That 30 bars.
The character creation song. Yeah.
Well, you know, as far as that type of game goes, it looks like you're going to have two new options in the upcoming future. DC is working on a massive that we know about, and we know Jim Lee is collaborating in it in some way, shape, or form. And I've actually heard that Marvel is working on one as well.
They're trying to push theirs out first.
Of course they are. Yeah, what I don't know. I don't have much faith in either of those, sadly. But they're not software companies. They're comic book companies. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I think other than the ones that we've talked about, I don't know that there's one that's out there that we haven't mentioned that's worth mentioning. Can you think of any fantastic?
Well, there are still tons of people that play Evercrack. There are still people that play Dark Age of Camelot.
Right.
Guild Wars, I know, is doing very well. It's in its third or fourth expansion at this point. Guild Wars is a game that you don't pay a monthly fee for,
right,
but they put out an expansion every 6 or 8 months that you have to pay for. Character generation is supposed to be halfway decent. You're supposed to be able to jump right into the game, from what I understand. I've never played. You're supposed to be able to jump right into the game, though. It's supposed to be able to, like, kick off, and it's very action-packed. And
Guild Wars was one of those games that PvP I got when I was mad at Star Wars.
Right.
Do you remember that period? Uh-huh. Where every so often something would happen in Star Wars, and I would get so pissed off that I'd be like, I'm never playing this game again, ever. And I would immediately go out to Best Buy.
Buy something.
And buy another game. And by the time I got home from that trip, I was like, I can't be mad at you, Star Wars. So I have a stack of unopened games, and I think Guild Wars was among the casualties of that.
It is. You have to give me that one, because I'd actually like to try it out.
Guild Wars? Yeah. I heard of this other one also that somebody just hooked me up with a 20-day free trial of something called EVE Online, which apparently is some sort of massive online spaceship game, something like that. I don't know. Like I said, I guess what we're saying here is that the genre is expanding at an exponential rate. These people want to play these massive online games with other people rather than the simple, kind of very story-driven, very focused beginning, middle, and end games like Half-Life.
Well, because the escapism is much greater.
Right. Oh, my God. You don't got to tell me, dude. I lived another whole life inside of that stupid Star Wars game.
In Galaxies, you were a millionaire.
I was a multi-millionaire, my friend. And I had reputation.
I was part of your entourage.
And I had standing in the community.
You certainly did.
And people knew.
You were an ass in that universe also.
People knew that when you were standing in front of Soupy DiGiorno, that you were standing in front of somebody special. That's what made Star Wars different.
Especially when you had crammed it out.
I think what we need to do here is we need to contact Sony and LucasArts and find out what's going on. Because the rumors are swirling around about a rollback. That's what they keep saying. They keep saying,
surely you jest.
In some way, shape, or form, some sort of rollback or something is being considered.
I can't imagine that. They'd piss off all their new players.
Well, who are the new players?
Maybe they
the
need
rumor
to...
is they lost 600,000 people in the first week after the flip.
Maybe they need to relaunch completely.
Maybe.
I think a rollback at this point would be way too late in the
game.
But
I think
you'd have to relaunch.
I think a relaunch would be so unattractive to people who have already paid so much.
Yeah, but how many of those characters that people have abandoned are still around or still stored?
They're all somewhere.
Maybe.
I mean, whether they'd be able to get them all back or something like that, I don't know. But that's something I'm going to investigate. I want to see, you know, if Soupy is a little blip.
The last thing I did was I dumped all of my money into the rent in my house.
That's what I did.
And I put everything else in a bank account, and I left Basil standing there, all alone, in Moena, on Naboo.
That's exactly...
Maybe he's still there.
That's exactly what I did, except he was just sitting on the floor in the middle of my house. Not even in a chair. My lavishly decorated house. Just sitting on the floor in the middle of the house, crying. Because... because he couldn't move, because the day I ended was the first day after the flip when I couldn't even figure out how to move the guy around anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to leave him sitting there, and I actually typed the last thing I typed in before, you know, remember you should type in log out and it would give you like 15 seconds. The last thing I typed before, when it would said 5 seconds, I typed cry and that was it. And then it was over and I canceled it. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but I'd like to find out. I'd like to find out if they're doing anything about the people who left the game trying to get any of them back. I think that's the direction to go. I also will, at some point, I'll report in on D&D Online to see if that's any better, if that's going to draw us into that universe. I rather doubt it. But
you give me Guild Wars, I'll take a knock at it.
Okay.
Grab the expansion and go for it.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, so I think that's going to wrap up our session on Massives. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Matt, it's time for the National, the Comic Book Art and Sci-Fi Expo, the last great show of the year in New York City.
That's right, Kev. It's coming up November 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Penn Plaza Pavilion.
Right, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday from 1 to 8, Saturday from 10 to 7, and Sunday from 10 to 7.
For more information on the show, you can go to BigAppleCon.com.
Hey, did you see the guests on this thing?
I did.
TV's Batman, Adam West.
Val Kilmer from Tombstone, The Doors, and Batman Forever.
Michael Biehn from Terminator and Aliens, as well as a couple of The Warriors.
Nice.
David Harris, who played Cochise. Roger Hill, who played Cyrus.
Can you dig it?
And Apache Ramos, who was one of the orphans.
In addition, Geek Stuff will be there as well, so stop on by and say hello.
Right, and we will be there alongside such great comic artists as John Romita Sr.
and Jr.,
Bernie Wrightston, Neil Adams, Travis Cherist. You want to come down and you want to see this show, go to BigAppleCon.com for more information and come and say hi when you're there.
Summon every childhood ghost we've seen. Then suddenly we hear that Mike Pope.
There it is, another hit off of Endless Wire, the new Who album. And
that Massive segment felt like an endless segment. See, I'm trying to tie it in.
Yeah, but you're tying it in while you stomp all over my line.
It's okay.
What did we talk about in episode 30, Endless Wire, Matthew?
We talked about the Wolverine movie that is moving forward splendidly. David Behoff, the screenwriter for Troy, is signed on to the film.
I'd also like to point out we learned that Mr. Fantastic loves Wolverine.
We did learn that Mr. Fantastic loves Wolverine. I hope that in the next few weeks, Hugh Jackman or someone from Fox Entertainment is going to announce who the director is, because I'm eagerly anticipating it. We also learned that the Wachowski brothers are going to be going forward with a Speed Racer film. Who's tied to it other than them, I don't know. Based on the success of V, however, they were given the green light to pursue this film. There was rumor at one point in time that Vince Vaughn was interested in playing Racer X, but we don't know. We'll see who's going to play Speed Racer, Trixie, Chim-Chim, and that little kid that we can't remember.
It's too bad we couldn't get in that archive and dig that out. We would have had that answer. The prospect.
Right.
Coming from DC Direct in June, an item of interest and an item of fright. Todd McFarlane and McFarlane Toys teaming up with DC Direct to bring you the Batman Spawn statue based on the new Batman Spawn crossover book that's coming out soon. So that would be the interesting one. And the scary one, of course, is Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern return in the reactivated Kingdom Come Series 2, which I do not understand why they release. We gotta get George Brewer on this program, because I'm starting to build up a list of questions that I need answers to from DC Direct. I also brought to light the fact that we are about to celebrate the 35th anniversary of a character that I don't understand why we're celebrating the 35th anniversary of, which is Red Sonja, who, with her current incarnation from Dynamite Entertainment, will turn 35 as of issue number 19, and Dynamite Entertainment has decided to go balls out on the anniversary with posters and busts and statues and busts. Get it?
Ba-dum-bum.
Statues and one-shots and miniseries, and I just don't understand the hoopla over this character.
Neither do I.
And I don't get it.
We talked about Universal and Fox pulling the funding for the Halo film. Peter Jackson and his partner at Microsoft has agreed to put the film on hold until they can find proper funding, which hopefully bodes well for the movie, that they're not going to do it half-assed, that they're not going to rush it out without the proper resources being there. Although, you know, if Peter Jackson is so hard-pressed to get the movie out and he's convinced that the movie is doing well, why not fund it himself? He's got to have a couple of bucks rolling around from Kong and Lord of the Rings, etc. But we'll see what happens to that. Hopefully it'll get picked up. Hopefully, however, the Street Fighter movie will not get picked up. That failed once. It's destined to fail again. I don't give a shit about Chun-Li. And I mostly don't give a shit about Street Fighter.
We then moved right into our segment, our massive segment.
We did.
On massive multiplayer online role-playing games. Where I have, based on our intrigue of the World of Warcraft episode of South Park, I went and investigated the possibility of us joining the World of Warcraft universe. And I'm going to say, I'm going to give a big giant no to joining that universe. I'm still feeling the loss of my beloved Star Wars galaxy.
As am I.
And I do not feel that World of Warcraft is offering me anything to take the place, if you will, of Star Wars Galaxies. We're going to look into this a little further with D&D Online. Matt's going to investigate Guild Wars. And generally speaking about Massives, they are really up and coming, but I don't think any of them is offering the versatility that we have come accustomed to, which is probably why we can't separate ourselves from
right.
it in order to enjoy fully any of these other games. For World of Warcraft particularly, there wasn't much in the way of character generation. It's very cartoony. It's very bright colored. If you like that kind of style of art that they created with their other Warcraft games, maybe you'll like this. It didn't work for me at all. Not on any level. It didn't work for me. Satisfaction at all. Didn't really like it.
I hate you. I hate you so very much. So very, 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 very much.
I was trying to make it endless.
You're like, no shit.
You're succeeding. Now this is endless. We're rambling again. So this is going to wrap up episode 30 of Geek Stuff Endless Wire.
Is it Geek Stuff Endless Wire? Is that the name of the show now? Or is it episode 30 Endless Wire?
It's Geek Stuff episode 30 Endless Wire. What did I say?
You said episode 30 Geek Stuff Endless Wire.
I said episode 30 of Geek Stuff Endless Wire.
Is there a way that you can loop this into an infinite file? Because that's what it feels like.
Does it feel endless?
Do you have a comment, Mr. Fantastic, before we go?
No, that was my last comment. My last and only.
Well, that one won't end up in the recording, so I thought maybe you had something else that you wanted to end on.
No, but we probably should have ended my comment. No?
Okay, and cut.
It's like it won't end.
Goodbye.
It's over.
And on that note, we cue the music.